Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, listening audience. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight and being a part of a national dialogue designed for proactive change. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. I'm grateful again to engage each and every one of you in very important conversation. I need your help as I endeavor to take this message and the conversation we share on air to targeted cities and urban areas across America with the hope and desire to improve the quality of lives by engaging communities and proactive strategies. You can be of great help by going to our webpage, www.bfcinstitute.com. Click on the donation tab or the contact us tab and find ways that you can assist us by either purchasing our items or just making a donation on our secure PayPal site. If you are a business or someone who would like to make a corporate level contribution and you would like more information, please give me a call at 615-498-4669 or send me an email at bfcinstitute@gmail.com. That's bfcinstitute@gmail.com, or give us a call at 615-498-4669. We are glad to share with you and provide you all the necessary information to help you make the decision to support us in our traveling lecture series.
The Lord is good to me. The devil has me down. Oh, the Lord is good to me. The devil has me down. The Lord is good to me. Let me tell you that the Lord.
Listen.
I know I got to listen. Didn't get it in no dream.
What did you say about it?
Wake me in a midnight hour and I'll tell you everything I see. I'm trying to take you down through the years.
The law.
The law.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Come on.
Come on, y'all.
You're listening to Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. Grateful for each and every one of you who will join us tonight, those who will follow us by live stream on Facebook and or on the Blog Talk Radio platform. We're grateful for you tonight. And we do have a topic, so I want to encourage you to come on, get in here. I'm going to give you the phone number. The number is 563-999-3600. 17. That's 563-999-3617. That's the number to join. We got a call in queue. Bear with me, caller. Let me get right through this monologue that I want to hear from you. Just stay right there. Don't you go nowhere. And you all join us here. Again, the number to call is 563-999-3617. That's in the studio right here live. Got a great topic for you, one that is relevant on this African American History Month. Yes, February the 6th, 2024. Now, it's been years since the celebration of Black History Month formally kicked off and was recognized in America. Now, while it is observed for an entire month since that time, from throughout the month of February at the present. Originally, it was observed only for 1 week. And that was kicked off in 1926. You see, a brother by the name of Dr. Carter Goodwin Whitson, he initiated dialogue and conversation, right, about recognizing the contributions of Negroes, as they were aptly called at the time. And what he did was to spark a larger dialogue. His life, his experiences informed all of that, but he was true to his own cause. What he wanted to do was to encourage a greater understanding and the spreading of the strengths of Negroes. We call them today African Americans. We call black at one time colored. So when you hear me make reference to Negro, black, and colored, these are the various classifications or nomenclatures that we've been identified as a subgroup of people in the United States of America. Okay? And the point I'm trying to make here is that this is a vital part of where we are today. And that brings us to the topic tonight. How useful is Black History Month? Now, in talking about this, I don't want to exclude anyone. It doesn't matter what your ethnicity is. It's a relevant conversation. I would argue that for sure, myself included, that for people who have been identified or referred to, acknowledged as black, this is an important topic, okay? And we're in Black History Month, or some people would prefer to say African American History Month, all right? Either way, it's the same thing. How useful is it, though, this period of time, for our young, for our families, for our neighborhoods, for our community, for the Afro-American subculture? How useful is it? That's the question we want to answer. Let me look at the text in John 5, 6 through 8, and see what it, how it informs us. It says, verse 6, when Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he said unto him, wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me in the pool. But while I am coming, another steps before me. Jesus said to him, rise, take up thy bed and walk. A little background. In this text, it's related to the idea in the Old Testament that there was a certain pool that people went to when they were ill, they were sick, and they had problems. And it was blessed. And it was believed that if you get in this water, God will absorb you of your sickness, your problems, your conditions. For 38 years in this area in Jerusalem or in biblical times, it was the custom, yet again, for Jewish people. And when Jesus saw this particular man who was impotent, had a problem, he decided that he wanted to help him out and told the man, look here, I see you there. And I understand you've been there a while. I'm paraphrasing here. Do you want to be made whole? Conditioned to making excuses and justifying inaction within himself. Not to say he was a bad man, but I'm just trying to explain to you. He came back with the age-old excuse. I got a problem, won't nobody help me, and that's why I just sit here. I'm going to just sit back. And what Jesus said, get in the water, take your bed up and walk. No more excuses. Let's do this. That is apropos to where we are today in our discussion about African-American history, of social awareness, about the contributions over the years post-slavery. Really, we can talk about how we've helped build the South and America as a subgroup of people. I like to look at educational progress in our discussion, what I'd like to have with you all tonight, and then look at the social and health outcomes historically, how far we've come, all right? Carter Goodwin Whitson, the father of Negro or Black History Week in 1926, now today called Black History Month or African American History Month. He wrote a book in 1933 that you're probably familiar with, a very powerful book. It was entitled The Miseducation of the Negro. Briefly, let me read what the foreword says and then share with you what his thesis was for this particular book. The foreword can explain the motivation and the drive behind him writing the book. He says, quote, "The thoughts brought together in this volume have been expressed in recent addresses and articles written by the author. From time to time, persons deeply interested in the point of view therein presented have requested that these comments on education be made available in book form. To supply this demand, this volume is given to the public. In the preparation of the volume, the author has not followed in detail the productions upon which most of the book is based. The aim is set forth only the thought developed in passing from one to another. The language, in some cases, then, is entirely new. The work is not a collection of essays. In this way, repetition has been avoided except to emphasize the thesis which the author gains." Woodson was not trying to make himself look good, but he was only responding to requests of people who he engaged in substantive conversations about the education of Negroes back in the 1930s. I think that's apropos to where we are in 2024. Let's look at what his thesis was. You read the book. I won't go into all of that tonight, but you take your time to read the book. The thesis, I would argue, was that in his time, and I would say that even today, years later, blacks were being culturally indoctrinated rather than taught or educated in American schools. Indoctrinated into what, Doctor? They were being indoctrinated into certain roles, certain boxes, if you will, of performance. The intent was not for you to think clearly for yourself, to control your family, to control your culture, to control the economics of your community, to control even your theological position, but merely to be assimilated or indoctrinated into a certain thought so that you can have a menial place or function in society. I want to talk to you about it. You might not agree with me, and I'm very, very much interested in hearing from you. Stand back. 999. 3617. Come on, get in here where you fit in here. Come on. So let me write quickly before we do that, before we open up the phone lines. I want to highlight some of the, it's not all of the chapters, but some of the chapters. And you will hear from the title of the chapters where Dr. Woodson was going. We're talking about 1933 now. You see, follow where he was coming from. In one chapter, he talked about the seat of the trouble. In another, he talked about how we missed the mark, how we drifted away from the truth. These are titles, these are chapters, Miseducation of the Negro. He was not intending, I don't believe, to offend or to discourage anyone, but simply to identify a problem in terms of the purpose at that time and focus of education and offer solutions as to how we should focus ourselves. He even entitled one, Education Under Outside Control. The failure to learn and make a living. Educated Negro leaves the masses. Dissension and weakness. Professional educated discouraged. Political education neglected. Talking about when you go through the formal school and training in these places, that the education that you're receiving is subpar. It's not doing you any good. Then lastly, focus for tonight, loss of vision. And that's where I want us to talk tonight. That's where I want us to talk. Again, you're listening to Talk Straight. This is your humble host, Brother Dockery. The number to call right now, call it right now, 563-999-3617. Got a call on the line here. Welcome to Talk Straight. I love to hear from you. What you got? What do you think about that, caller? Have you heard our monologue? Well, talk to me. The floor is open to you.
Yeah, I heard your monologue. Good job. I think you represented the brother well, especially his work.
Thank you.
And,
thank you,
you know, just getting into your title question, I think your title question is important. Your title
okay.
question lays it out. Like, look, once this became a federal holiday, did this become out of our hands, and then did we start looking at things in a different way? Because if we're listening to Dr. Carter G. Woodson, Woodson's whole premise is, no matter what, keep your institutions, keep your own things and stay in control of them. So by having, you know, History Week, of course, he did History Week. Eventually, you know, we get History Month now. But the main purpose of it is when he was going around these cities hunting up books and looking up texts that were, you know, other people didn't have access to and printing this stuff out and creating these curriculums that would be used decades after his, you know, passing, you get an understanding of what an institution builder is. So that's what Carter G. Woodson was. So to me, the importance of his work still stands out. You can read The Education of Negro and The Miseducation of Negro and get things that other scholars aren't writing about right now. But the main point of it is you have to keep your institutions so that way if other people decide, get fair weather and decide they don't want to be interested in what you got going on and your historical birthright and decide to start wiping it off the records, you've got your own records. This is where we get, you know, Arturo Schomburg out there in New York and him collecting all that stuff and putting all these books and texts together, which leads, you know, other scholars on to other ones. So to me, Black History Month, great accomplishment, beautiful thing, and the main thing that it's here for is institution keeping. So, yes, we should keep it. Yes, we should celebrate it. Should some of us look at it in a different way instead of just remembering dates and shouting out the names of famous people? Yes, I wish we did do that better. But no matter what, keeping the institution there so people have the ability to do it better is the most important thing. We can't let this stuff go away.
Man, great. I couldn't have said it better. And I want to be clear here. I'm an educator, and I'm a vocational preacher, but I'm an educator as well. I want to be very clear. I'm all about education. And I believe that we ought to know about our history, right? But we ought to know the truth. Aligning with his thesis, I think he was trying to warn us that if you don't be careful, someone else's agenda for your learning can blind you to your purpose for your learning. See, knowing that you slavery and all the bad things and you were brought over here in the boats and so forth and so on, that's bad. And if you're not careful, it can make you mad. It can cause you to lose focus, right, on what you really ought to be doing. Because even some people now say, I ain't got nothing to do with Africa. Well, that's your choice, but it's important to understand the context of history. We helped build America. We've made contributions as a subgroup of people, and we have a right to seeing success for our generation, the generation behind us. But guess what we see with our young brothers now in Chicago and New York and Nashville and Baltimore and Birmingham, Alabama, all over. We see young people spiraling nowhere, collectively speaking, not everybody, but too many of them, we see that. And it begs the question, if our history is so powerful, so instructive, right, how useful is it today? Here we are in 2024, and you got folks, and that's good. We should do that, brother. I believe we ought to recognize. We should steadily ensure. But with the Black church, with our social organization, how well have we really made Black history not just something to play with, but something to use as a tool for advancement and development? And that's really where I appreciate you. I appreciate you laying it bare.
No. I get your point. It's just like, just because you haven't done something well doesn't mean you should get rid of it. Matter of fact, Go down there to the Capitol and tell them they should get rid of July 4th celebrations and see if you don't come out of there with a knot
Amen.
On your head. Because they're going to understand institution building. They're going to understand legacy. And they're going to tell you, no, we're not giving up our birthright.
Correct.
Enough. You continue to keep it. Of course, you try to do it better. Of course, try to do it better.
Give it right,
but let me just say one.
Give it right, brother.
Let me say
give
one more
right.
thing about Dr. Carter Woodson. Dr. Carter
yes.
Woodson, as best we know from the scholars, young man, his father, and you know all his father's friends and family worked in the mines. He would come down there and read the newspaper to him. Why? Some of these gentlemen couldn't read at the time. He's
correct.
Reading the newspaper
correct.
To them. He's getting an appreciation for learning. That's making them aware of what's going on around them. And then you start reading about Carter Woodson's life, and what you find is it ain't a lot of room for entertainment. It ain't a whole lot of, you know, I was here and I was doing this. It's him going to hunt up books. It's him writing. It's him talking to other scholars, disagreeing with them sometimes, agreeing with them sometimes. Like he'd be on Du Bois' head one week, and then the next week he'd commend Du Bois for doing something good. That's who Carter G. Woodson was. This was a dedicated scholar. And that kind of dedication is how you get access to all the books that he was able to, all those black families that had those libraries where he was able to get those books out when
right.
somebody passed. And then that way, those libraries, you know, those books later on became part of the curriculum at some of these black schools. So,
right, right.
you know, you got to have somebody like Woodson to do these things, but ultimately, you can't treat any tool as if it's the tool to solve all problems. So, no, black history ain't going to solve everything, but that don't mean you
right.
throw it away. You keep it. And as what Dr. Clark used to say, so people know their time and place, and especially know what they've done in this or on this world. But, yeah, I don't want to go too far. I'm long-winded.
No, stay right there. Don't you go nowhere. Don't you go nowhere, man. Don't you leave this, brother. No, you make a great point, and I wanted to emphasize something that you were pointing out, and that is the fact that Carter G. Woodson, I would argue, as a student of his work, that he was anxious. He was anxious to get things to get moving because I don't know if you know, but he started high school at 17, and he started college. He started college much later, so he was trying to make up for lost time. You understand what I'm saying? And this brother was serious. He realized we don't have time for games. We ain't got time for arguments and a bunch of foolishness, and I'm going to do everything I can to hurry up and get my people up to level, up to speed, where they can understand what it is that we got going on and what they need to be doing. You understand what I'm saying? And so your point is well taken. Today in 2024, I don't really believe politically, socially, economically, we got time to be arguing with one another about what church we go to, what artists we like the most. You understand what I'm saying? And our girlfriends and foolishness like that, because we're so far behind. That's me now. That's just me, though. You may not agree with me, but that's where we are, man. And we got work to do. We got work to do. So I appreciate that, man. I'm calling in my co-host now.
I appreciate it, man. Thanks for your time, brother.
Yes, sir. Thank you for calling tonight. All right. The caller made a great point, that being what we can do to really make black history useful. I agree with him. 1,000. Let's not get rid of it. But what can we do to make it useful in 20? This very, very powerful. We can explain their intent. We can explain the purpose. And we have his full intent. What is it that was he trying to make a name for himself? Was he trying to boast himself up? No, I think not. I think not. And what, again, the focus of our history, any history, should be informative. It should be motivating, and history should also give you a sense of direction. It should be like a fist for you. When you learn from the past, right, and you understand the direction that you want to go in, and it should help inform you in such a way that you're able to for yourself, for your children. I would argue today in urban America, get in trouble, they don't know which way to go. Is that they should be leaning on or turning. They lack that understanding. Next week, they'll be lost. Are you with me?
Your call has been forwarded to an automatic voice message system.
1-6-1-5-5-2-4-8-6.
I was trying to get my co-host in. Maybe, hopefully he'll call. I think he called in once. I'll try to get him back here again. Give me a call here, 563-999-3617. Earlier I played Reverend Jasper Williams. He sang that Negro gospel song. Down through the years, the Lord has been good to me. Now, some of us can identify with, I'm one, that we've been through a lot. And arguably, you're justified point being frustrated and disappointed and downhearted when you look at the overall history. But that should not be where we stop. It should be the motivation for moving forward. One of the things I emphasize in the monologue is that my intent to focus on some things, and that is socially. Now, in the political idea of social consciousness, I believe have been hijacked by some folk that had an ill intent. What do you mean, social consciousness? I'm talking about the Afro-American social consciousness. It is not to be used as a cudgel or as a platform for others who have nefarious intents to identify themselves and to get certain policies in their names, in the name of black struggle or black experience. Don't let nobody do that. That's not what it's for. Okay? It's about Black Lives Matter. Absolutely Black Lives Matter. But who makes it matter? You make it matter. How do you make it matter? By being informed of the truth of from whence you come and whether traveling. That's how you make it count. That's how you make it worth something. It's not because what somebody else said. That's kind of what Dr. Goodwin's thesis was, you see, that when you are just indoctrinated and not educated, to be educated is to be empowered. Think and act for yourself. The education is nothing but a process that involves teaching and learning. That's all it is. It's a process that somebody does some teaching and somebody receives information they learn. How do you know if they learn, Doctor? Well, learning involves a change in your behavior after being exposed to information and mastering that information. Then we know you learn. You see, because you have been able to take certain information or knowledge and to apply that for yourself. And we can see that demonstrated in your change of action, of thought, and attitudes. Oh, he learned something. That boy done learned. See, when you take a baby and your baby sticks his finger on a hot stove, that hot stove burns them. And unless there's some serious developmental issues, that child will look at that stove, process it, and see if it's warm enough or cool enough. But we didn't get close to a little long, put my hand on it again. That's learning right there. Intuitively, when the newborn baby or the new toddler starts to learn how to walk, they get up, and usually nobody has to tell them to do it. Sometimes we try to encourage them, but they get up and they start walking. And when they fall, help me, Holy Ghost. Yeah, yeah. Intuitively, what they know to do is to get up and try it again. They learn, Lord Jesus, how to walk. I wish I had a witness. Come on, give me a call now. I got time to talk to you. I got another 30 minutes. I got another 30 minutes at least. 563, Facebook, thank you so much for joining us. 999-3617. I want to ask you a question. What should, in this process of teaching and learning, because we can see the curriculum in the public school setting, with all due respect, I'm a former public school educator. Thank you, teachers, for what you do. Public school teachers, private school teachers, homeschool teachers. Thank you for what you do. All of our babies need to learn. But unfortunately, in the public school setting, the way it's set up, I think there's a need for some reform there. Change curricular focus, aim and intent, specifically for the most at-risk population. And what all the data tells us over the last 20, 30 years, there's longitudinal studies out there that demonstrate that Afro-American males need a different approach pedagogically to instruction, okay? If you want to reach them now, want to reach them. Now, having said that, that don't mean that that there aren't others who need help in their various ways and based on their issues. All right, I'm just talking about black males right now. This is Black History Month. We're talking about a black man that laid something down that can be potentially useful to black males. Work with me. Work. And at some point in time, I can help you apply that somewhere else. But right now, right tonight on February 6th, 2024, around 7:32 p.m. Central Time, work with me. All right? Now, what am I saying? What are you saying, Doctor? I'm saying to you that when we look at the history and present it to young brothers, they must understand that there have been tremendous contributions made to the advancement and the development of the United States of America. Has it all been good? No. Have they always been respected? No. Have their importance been recognized, even in government and policy? No. Not always. But in 2024, you have an opportunity. It is possible for you to establish yourself on these principles of American citizenship and be who and what you want, not just in America, but around the world. What you say, Doctor? I said, you can be who and what you want, not only in America, but around the world. What if then I fell off my horse and I got caught up in some criminal activity and I did a little time in jail? That don't stop you. That don't stop you from being what you want. You got to learn, though. Huh? You got to be educated on how to overcome those things. That's where we are. That's where we are. Let me see if I can get my friend again here. Give me a call, y'all. 563-999-3617. That is the number to call. Let me see if I can get my friend back here. I think he had called in, and I mistakenly knocked him out of play here. I apologize for that if I did, and I know he's very busy too. So, but I want y'all to give me a call. We're talking from the topic, how useful to black people. How useful to black people. That's what we're talking about tonight on Talk Straight. I don't believe in shooting, chucking, and jiving or talking out of the side of my mouth, man. You understand? Now, we're gonna be real. Let's keep it real. Let's keep it 100, as they say, colloquially. All right? But Black History, Negro History, African American History Month, from one of his seminal works entitled, okay, we missed him here. We'll just keep on going. One of his seminal works entitled The Miseducation of the Negro. The Miseducation of the Negro. In this book, While I Wait You, I'm going to highlight some of the titles in the book, the chapters titles that he pointed out, and just kind of give my observation of those titles and how I think they drove his intent. One of them is how we get away from the truth. Now, that's important. That's important, how we drifted away from the truth. What is the truth? The truth is that no matter how you got here and how ugly your voyage here, your troubling voyage was, you're here now, right? And while you're here, you have an obligation and a responsibility to maintain yourself. If you wait on somebody else to do that for you, if you assume that just going to school and getting a degree is going to make you successful, you've missed the mark. It's good to have the education, good to have the letters, but you have to apply it and make it what it's worth and not just get lost in somebody's corporation on somebody else's agenda. What are you saying, Doctor? I'm saying that you're smart enough. Your education, your degrees are great enough for you to start your own academic institutions, your own schools. I saw where Elon Musk is throwing around the idea of him starting a university in Texas. Now, I understand the man gave a whole lot of money to different schools and around the state. And now he's throwing out the idea that he's going to start his own school. Well, that's cool. Right here in Tennessee. The governor in his address the other night talked about how he's investing more money in private schools or opportunities for young children, particularly children in the 19 priority schools in Davidson County. Now, that means they didn't meet annual yearly progress for more than 2 years, 2 years or more, okay? And we got them. We're talking straight now. Well, if that's the case, and I know that some people don't like that because the argument is that's going to take money away from the traditional public schools, okay? Well, the money follows the child. So whatever is left for the children in the public schools, the school system is going to have to learn how to manage that properly. But I would argue if you taught in the public schools and you serve the public, you should be able to take your retirement even to a private school with you, should be able to negotiate that. You should be able to say, I've given my time as a teacher, I'm talking about now. I'm not talking about a teacher. And you should be able to negotiate bringing that to a private school. Right? Incorporate yourself and become a tutor yourself. Start a school. White, black, green, purple, or the other. I'm just saying now. I'm just saying. But your education is good enough for you to do that. We should control the learning center, particularly the African American church. Don't get mad now. I'm a preacher too, pastor too. But we haven't done the best job saying that everything's terrible, but we can do better, brother, sister, beloved. And using the real estate of the churches we got, the buildings. Open them up. Now, that means that when you open them up, you're going to have to get ready to talk to your people now. Talk to your people. Don't you come in here and tear it up. If I open it up, I don't expect you to tear it up now. Come here and act right. Let's do right. Let's let learning take form. Talk to the parents. Partner with the public schools. If you want to support them, you want to survive, want them to survive, partner with them. And the public schools ought to be open with your tax dollars that keep them open and partnering with you. Parents and stakeholders. Come on now, let's put it all where the sweet is. You're talking about how useful is Black History Month. You only get 28 days, and on leap year you get, 29? Okay? That'd be here before you, that'd be gone before you know it. That'd be gone for you if you don't be careful. You're winking, you're blinking, you're missing. You understand? You're blinking, you're missing. Well, what you saying, Doctor? I'm simply saying, beloved, that these are some considerations during Black History Month that I would love to encourage you to consider. I'm not saying do it just because Dr. said it, but consider it. That this Black History Month, we will take the lessons of a people who had a very turbulent voyage from the shore, the continents of Africa, across the Atlantic Ocean. Basil Davins write about the transatlantic slave trade, okay? Yeah, that's important to know. It's important to know. We learn about the civil rights struggle. We learn about things like out there in Black Wall Street, right? And how it was destroyed. Yeah. What is it that we can take from that and tell our young people that out here running around with the pants hanging down, looking like who shot John or what? I love you. That's why I can talk to you about it, because I love you. I come from that. See, I have to remind people all the time. I grew up in the housing project of Chicago. Black man that was a police officer told me when I was 14, oh, 50-some years ago now, that you ain't going to live to see 16. You understand what I'm saying? I can talk about it. Been there. Ain't nothing you tell me about being black in America, because I've been black 3 times. Born a black baby, raised a black boy, now live the life of a black man in America. I come to tell you that there's opportunity. Listen, we can learn from the history over the years. You cannot tell American history properly without involving contribution to that history. I'm talking about before they became a nation. I'm talking about the 14 men that were with a brother by the name of Prince Hall that helped George Washington win independence from Great Britain. Huh? I'm talking about brothers like Crispus Attucks. Now, some people say jokingly that the reason what kicked off the real war with the Boston Tea Party, they were in the Boston in the bars over there, and Crispus Attucks was in there with a brother in there with his shoes on. He had some good-looking shoes. Somebody stepped on the brother's shoes. Oh, man, fight broke out. Bam! They said, well, we had to go and fight for our freedom. Then. Well, no, but Crispus Attucks, said to be a brother of Negro ancestry that was involved in the fight and the struggle and indeed fought. I'm just making some points here. I still got about 17 minutes or so before we wrap up for tonight. Give me a call, 563-999-3617. I'd love to hear from you. While I wait on you to call me, though, I'm going to go back and talk a little bit from my prepared monologue for tonight. We're talking from the topic, how useful History Month, black people. Hey, here's that on my main man. Hold on 1 second. I got my friend here. Hey, Pastor Wilder.
Hey, man, what's going on, Pastor Doctor?
Man, you're going to be mad at me. I cut you off by mistake. I'm so sorry.
That's all right. That's all right, brother.
Been out there working. He tried to call in. I didn't cut him off. I'm beating myself up, Pastor.
No, brother, that's me. That was my doing, man. I had to call in and get really be known, though, that I knew it was going on, but I decided to call in. I was still doing my work right here, but I said I got to catch the last little bit if I can.
I love you, though.
Brother.
Do you know how much I love
man.
You? Like peanut butter loves
brother.
Jelly.
Hey, man, that's a connection, brother. That's it. That's
all
a
right,
connection
all right.
There.
Well, yes, sir. Well, thanks for tuning in. So we'll be talking how useful is Black History Month to black people. Pastor, if folk can't benefit from it, is it any good? Anything that you have that's not useful, is it any good to you? Do you need to reconsider it? Now, I had a caller call in early. He got me straight. He told me, just because it's not working right, don't mean you throw it away. I said, yes, sir. You sure telling the truth. But how useful are we today, Pastor? Any thought on that?
Well, it's always about the time frame of when a person show up, they show up to grow up. And it may not work right then, but it'll work for your own time if you just keep showing up. You know, that's the hardest part. See, showing up is one thing, but sticking stand is another. I can show up, but I don't get it. I may not show up again. And that's what happens a lot of times with our people. So, no, it still can be effective if you just know that at that point from the start, you may not get it. That's why you have a desire. At least I have a desire. That's where it started at with me, a desire. I'm ignorant, unlearned, don't know no better, but I showed up. And that's what happened, man. So, you know, that's the way you got to do it. So it can be worth it, but I'll tell you this, and then I'm going to turn it back over to you. Now,
no, go ahead.
When it comes down to black, quote, what you say, history, we live in every day. And if a person can't get with what is going on, they'll always send something that you can understand. And that's that trap that I'm talking about. Make you forget about that there is a black history.
Wow.
And how does that take place?
Mm-hmm.
This is how that takes place. You bring something else and put it on their mind.
For instance,
okay, if I got an addiction to a drug, black history don't mean that much to me. Especially if I don't have that hit right there. You know, and that could be the reason why. There's a reason for me not being focused on it. Because some people don't really care about black history. I mean, because that's black. So it has its place when you say, is it any good? Should we continue to even have it to be recognized? And I would say, don't take it away right now. Just give it a little bit more time. And if it don't work, then get rid of it. I mean, just don't do it now. How long is that going to happen? How long is that going to last? When is it going to be a time to say, oh, we finally got it? I think that's what you have with it. I finally got it. Now I know what it means.
Yes, sir.
Now I know what we need to do.
Yes.
Yeah, man. It's tough, man. It's tough.
I like that. I like that. Because, and what I'm hearing you say, I think you show up to grow up. Or to go up. Show up to go up. I like that.
Yeah.
I like
that. Yeah, we got to grow up, man.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
You know, and here's the thing. I think sometimes people get so frustrated and wore out, man, they just give up. They throw their hands up and say, forget it. The truth of the matter is, a lot of times we're looking for it to come a certain way with a certain label. You understand what I'm saying? And the truth of the matter is, you said it right. Every day you live, you're making history. You're contributing to humanity.
Right.
And that's what our young brothers need to understand. The reason you make good, wise choices, you don't rob, steal, or harm anybody, is because you are a contributor to humanity. Your story is going to be told 50 years from now. You understand what I'm saying? And the world needs to know you. Hey, the world needs to, just because Dockery is fat head and nappy head, don't mean the world don't need to know he was here today. You understand what I'm saying? I'm going to comb my head tomorrow. Don't worry about it.
I'm trying to get it, huh?
Yeah. But today, I want you to know I was here. I want you to know I was here today. And I believe that if we took this to young cats in the juvenile court, on the block, I saw several young brothers got arrested for bringing guns to school. What you bringing a gun to school for? Why you think you need that? What if we told them, like Brother Malcolm said, Pastor, your greatest weapon is your mind? What if they went to school? Huh?
That's right.
Maybe they leave the pistol at the crib.
And shock the teacher, you know. Let the teacher know that's going to learn something.
Watch out now.
Yeah.
Watch out.
Yeah,
that
would be great. But they have put something out there on us so strong, though, Pastor. I'm going to tell you, they put something out there on us so strong to make the thought of doing that not appropriate because of the going thing. You know, see that type of mentality is the going thing that it has increased. And it's just basically where I'm at right now. You know, we had a study, and the sister was talking about she read my first book.
Okay.
And, man, it excited me how she brought that to me about what she read and how she read it. So I said to myself, I said, well, is this city get this book? And everybody get this book on the other side of town, crime's going to go down the way she was talking about that book. And I'm just saying, not what I said. I didn't say it. She said
right.
it. And that's what I, and this was just maybe 10 minutes ago.
Okay.
She got the book last week, and she said she read it all the way, and then she came in, you know, to study, and she shared that with me. And I thought that was enlightening. It excited me. It's my book. And I'm like, man, that was interesting. She said, you know, you were something else. She told me how I was. I know she read it when she said that, you know. I said, yeah, I was lost as I can be. But I finally got something because I showed up, and that's what it's all about. Because you have to start somewhere. I had to show up in order to get free from that is what I'm saying. So these cats, if they show up and then they don't come back, that means that they didn't get it and they don't feel like they're going to get it. But if they show up and don't get it, then show up again. Oh, you better watch that person, man. That person is ready to come back and talk to them. And so the teacher's going to be like, whoa, that person is back. And that's all I'm saying, man. You got to show up, brother, to get free.
Can you imagine, Pastor, if young kids come in with their hands up saying, I surrender, teacher. Teach me something.
Yeah.
Teach me how to practice exponentially.
That would be something.
My hands in the air now. I surrender to you. Teach me something. Huh?
Yeah. Yeah, man. Yeah. If they come in like that, she said she was blessed behind it. Something broke in her when she read that. So if them kids come in surrendering, as you just said, man, the teacher's going to be like, what's going on? Something is happening. Well, the student came in to learn something, man. That's interesting, brother. Just got to get to that point, man. I believe it can happen. I believe it can happen, man. So don't get rid of it right now. Let them keep talking about it. They mess around and hear something that the man is saying. Because he done something, you know, that made a difference. There's no question about that. And he went through some changes, man. You know, the man went through some changes. The man got stabbed. You know, see, I didn't know that for a long time, you know.
Wow.
Until I heard him say, he said if he breathed, you know, if he just sneezed or something like that, and he wasn't going to no longer be here. Somebody, you know, was so glad that he didn't sneeze. And so things like that, man, you know, it's amazing. Right. He went through some changes, bro, for his people. So don't get rid of it, but find out what is the solution to respect him. We have to respect him.
Absolutely.
Yes, we have to respect him. Yes, sir.
And all of those figures that we read about, we have to respect it enough to say that I'm going to take a lesson from their contribution. And I'll go back to what you said earlier. I'll go back to what you said. You are a historical figure in 2024. On this February 6th, 2020, you are a historical figure. And what you do today is a story for somebody to talk about 100 years from now. That's what we've got to look at.
Yeah, man. Yeah, they can help somebody, brother.
Yes, sir.
Because they're going to need the help, man. I'm telling you, generation after generation, if we don't have, you know, no foundation, brother, man.
Amen.
None of this stuff, man, that's going on is going to help us, man, if we don't get together. If we don't get it together, that means that we can get it together.
And I believe we will, Pastor. We just got to stay on the back.
Got to stay with it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
We ain't going to. You know, I started the monologue with John 5:6-8, and you know the story well. Where the impotent or the paralytic at the pool of Bethesda made excuses for not getting. And Jesus simply said to him, paraphrase,
do you want it?
No more. Don't get in the water. When you get in the water, all your problems will be washed away. And that's where we are today with black people. How it's useful to us is by taking the mindset today, I'm going to change something in my life.
Yeah.
And help change something in their life, right? In a positive, productive way. Based on what we've come from. What we know, Pastor, is that, like you said, Dr. King and Brother Malcolm and others, they made sacrifices. They're not here with us today, but it's because of their sacrifice that many things have failed today.
That's right.
Just imagine if Jimmie Lee Johnson didn't try to walk in Mississippi, and they killed the brother. But he was walking for freedom.
Yeah, man.
Those still the Little Rock Nine if they didn't have the fortitude to walk up and say, we're going to this school. It's been integrated. We got a right to be educated. And they may bust our head, but we're going. What would have happened?
We're going.
If we stood up. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Governor Wallace said, we ain't going to let no black people come to our university down there in Alabama. But they went, didn't they?
No, man. Man, just went on. Stepped up
made
to
them
it.
Stand down. Get out the way, boy.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying?
On my way. Only
on
way.
On my way.
Yeah, that's all.
The good news, Pastor, is as we wrap up for tonight, we've been talking about how useful is Black History Month, Black people. I'm going to answer that. Let me answer that. Definitively.
Mm-hmm.
It's as you make it. Black History Month is as useful as Black people, Negro, Black colored folk make it. African American. Have you want my brother, my sister, I love you. It's as useful as you make it. That's how useful it is.
As useful as you make it. Make it be what you would have it to be, man. You know, that's basically what you're saying. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
And
as useful as you make it to be.
That's it. And look, it may not measure up to somebody who you think is smarter than you or look better than you.
Yeah.
Or got better
abilities. Yeah.
Use what you got. Huh?
Use what you got.
Yeah.
What you got to mean a lot. You got to use it.
There you go.
Yeah.
If you use it. Now, use it. Guess what? It ain't no good. It ain't no good to you
that's
or nobody
right.
else.
Yeah, that's tough to have it and not be able to use it, man. I mean, that's not good, bro. We got to get to that point. Got to get to that point.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. Well, my friend, I want to again express my appreciation to you, and I trust the fact that you're all right.
Yeah, everybody's all right. How about on your end?
Good. Your friend got married, man.
He's a married man. That's awesome, brother. Yeah, that's awesome, brother. That is awesome.
That's good. I'll tell him you should help.
Yeah, make sure you tell him I said congratulations, man. And remember one thing, he got it honest, brother.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, man, he got it honest. He got good training, man. You know, that's awesome, brother. We need more of that.
Yeah.
Train him up well.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you. Well, give me a final thought, Pastor. Take us home. We're gonna wrap it up. Talking from the top, how useful is Black History Month to Black people? And what we learned is that it's as useful as you make it, moving year after year. Pastor Wallace, our co-host, wrap it up tonight. Take us home. Believe it.
Well, I'd say this like the way that it has been don't mean that it has to continue. Because, oh, what a difference a day make, I used to hear people say. But then the scripture says, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, that's how fast change can take place, man. So the word of God reminded me, he said, well, there's two or three gathered together in his name, touching and agreeing, there he said, he'll be in the midst of us. Let us put him in the midst of us and watch the movement continue. Watch it stand firm. Watch it make a difference. Pay attention to the Bible said we walk by faith and not by sight. So you don't have to see it right now. Just believe that it's on the way. And I yield back to you on that note.
Well,
it's on the way.
All right. Until we meet again on next Tuesday, Lord willing, at 7 o'clock p.m. Central Time. We want to thank you for joining us tonight. And on behalf of your host, Brother Dockery, and our co-host, Pastor Waller, we thank you again. We'll see you next week for another episode of Straight. All right. And we're going to leave out here with Dockery Williams. Down through the years, the Lord has been good to me. Have I got a witness here tonight?
That's it, brother. That's it. That is it. That's it. Yes.
Wake me in the midnight hour. Tell you everything I see. I'm trying to take you down through the years.